Good morning. Thank you for coming this early. And I see that we lost some of you at the party last night, but I assure you, you're going to enjoy this keynote today. So yesterday, we talked about the cloud, right? And we talked about the need for trust and the need for intelligent services. Tonight, we'll talk about tools and productivity and how we are reinventing productivity. Today, this morning, I want to talk about the third priority for Microsoft. And that's MPC, more personal computing. Now, I think you're probably wondering, what is more personal computing? What does it really mean? And so that's the question that I want to answer today with you. So let's start from a typical day, just a normal day in your life, in my life, normal day. You wake up, and probably your partner, your spouse, asks you to prepare breakfast for the kids. Right, so you receive a command as soon as you are up. Then you go in the kitchen, you're still sleeping, and you see a number of cereal boxes, and you get the one that you like your kids want, right? So you get that object. Then you're having breakfast, and your daughter asks you for money, right? That's kind of normal. And you don't ask, hey, please sign this contract, let me check if I can give you the money. You just take the money from your wallet and you give the money to your daughter. You know the daughter. Then your phone rings, so you're talking to the phone, and with the other hand, you're basically making the sound of, like, you're asking other people in the room to shh, like on the phone, right? And so you're just doing the gesture with your finger. And then eventually, you realize that you need to order something. And so you write a note, and you left the note. And the note say, when to your spouse, when you come back home, hey, grab that, remind to get that. And then finally, your other kid is younger, is upset, maybe because you gave money to the first kid and not to him, but who knows. He starts crying. And so you make, funny faces, right, to ask him to stop crying. How many of you identify yourself into this typical day? Basically, everybody that has a kid. I think this is a good way to test who has kids or not. But this is just like a typical day, a typical journey, right? And so what do all these things have in common? They have in common the human, right? It's all centered around human. Human language, human gestures, human context. And so let's step back and think from a technology perspective. Over the last years, we had to bend the way we work with technology. We had to learn to use technology to interact with the PC versus the other way around. Then, of course, there's been research, there's been development, and we've made progress in technology being more personal. In fact, what I'm showing you behind is a video that we released about 5 years ago, and it was our vision of how we would re-envision like the education in the next 5 years, so basically now. And you can see some of the technology that we showed 5 years ago are now exist, like, for example, Skype Translator. They exist in our market. Technology has been evolving a lot, both from a hardware perspective, devices perspective, services perspective. And now we're at a point where really we can leverage technology that makes our experience with computer more personal. We are really reaching that moment. And it's not just about understanding, but it's also about augmenting that experience. And so I want to go back to the story that I told you earlier. And you will see that there is a mapping one-on-one between all these daily interactions with and technology. For example, when your spouse asks you something, that's speech, right? And it's just using natural language, and you understand that. When you select the cereal box, it's not just about understanding that there is a box, that that box is of cereal, but understanding which box of cereal you want to pick. That's something that our eye does automatically. Why technology cannot do exactly the same? We're getting there. When your daughter asks for money, right, that's just another way to prove you're basically automatically recognizing her identity. Now, I don't know about you, but I spend most of my day in front of a PC, sometimes more than one PC, and yet my PC doesn't know me. So why cannot he recognize me? Same way as my friends and my parents recognize me. When you see me, I'm Italian, and so I also like to do gestures. But the gesture that I mentioned earlier, gesture is just another part of our natural language. So why couldn't the machines understand also our natural gestures? And same for inking and smart inking. And finally, emotions. And I'll get back to the emotion in a bit. And so when we think about these characteristics, right, these capabilities, we've been investing over the past years on a number of cloud services that enable, you know, developers to make these capabilities be part of your applications. Not only on the cloud, but also across devices. And so today I brought with me a number of Windows 10 devices that really showcase what we mean with more personal computing and are a great example of, you know, how we think about our own first-party experiences with more personal computing experience. And so from this point on, I want to show you some example. I want to talk about the possibilities out there. And hopefully those are inspiring for you as you think about, you know, the future of your business. And so I'll start with one of my favorites, which is kind of like the first device that really led the way in more personal computing, and that's Kinect. Kinect really reinvented the way we interact, you know, in a living room, or we interact even with the machine in things like healthcare, manufacturing, and more recently, even art. So let's play this video.
We wanted to take something that was familiar and then inspire you to see it in a way that you never dreamed. And this Kinect technology allows us to reimagine how we look at dance.
You see, we're taking technology in a sense as sophisticated as the Kinect to reinvent dance, to reinvent art. Now, that's a great example of personal experience, personal computing. Another great device which I love, and I'm sure you love too, it's HoloLens. Right? It's the evolution of thinking about how do we take all this, you know, 3D content, how do we take this mixed reality, like the reality experience, whether it's augmented or virtual, to the next level. And then we come up with a device that is great at doing mixed reality, at taking holograms and mixing them in the environment around you in such a way that you almost don't realize anymore what is real versus what is virtual. And that's a kind of like the concept here. We want to create natural experiences. You know, we've been doing the build tour, the HoloLens tour in around the US recently, and the number one feedback that we keep getting is it just feels natural. It just feels like a good device to wear. And this is exactly the type of experience that we want to create. And so we've been working with a few partners on creating the first few showcases that demonstrate the capability of HoloLens. And so I brought with me a video of one of these experiences. Let's roll this video.
Visualizing design data in the context of the real environment is a much better way to make sure the design is implemented correctly on site.
Microsoft HoloLens allows you to collaborate with somebody regardless of distance, like they were there.
Hello there.
Hey Igor, where they're trying to put this door, there's a beam behind here.
I'm looking at this beam, we're interacting with it about a problem that we can see and being able to solve that problem with all the data that we need in front of us in real time.
This is just an example of the many capabilities that, you know, will be made available and possible with Microsoft HoloLens. Now, these are examples. Do you like it? What do you think? Yes. I also want to show you, you know, how more personal computing applies to, you know, everyday application, not just, you know, augmented mixed reality experiences or Kinect experiences, also to applications that we run on our devices today. And so to do this, I brought with me a demo here that I will show you. So let me switch to my machine. So you see now I'll invite the camera on stage. You see I brought one of my laptops. This is my new Surface Book. You can see it in all its beauty. I love it. You can see it's looking for me, so that's why I'm jumping quickly from side to side so it doesn't find me. Because as soon as I then just put my head in front of my PC, it recognizes me and it logs me in, right? No hands. This is more secure, but it's also, you know, more personal way to start the day. I love when I get into the office in the morning, I sit in my PC, and it recognizes me, and it winks at me. That's pretty good. It's true. You should try it. My PC knows me. So I want to run an application here. Before I do that, let me just set the context. At least in US, I don't know how it is here in Germany, but when you buy a new house, you basically call an inspector. The inspector comes, and he basically checks every little detail of the house, and he tells you all possible problems. And so one thing that he does today, he comes with several pieces of paper, and he starts taking notes, and he goes around the house, and he checks the roof, and he checks the garden, he checks the various rooms and the electrical, and that is a lot of work. So how can we take that experience and make it more personal? So here's the application that I brought for you. The application is called Lamna. Same way as Windows Hello recognizes you when you start Windows, an application, a universal Windows platform application, can also use your face, your gesture, to recognize and log you into the app. And so as I put my face here, I'm using now Microsoft Passport to log in into my data. As I mentioned, it's a universal Windows platform app, so it's responsive. It nicely scaled down. I can run this on multiple devices, on tablets. It's touch-friendly. So let's go to the first appointment. Let me bring this full screen. And you notice here something common for an LOB application, right? Text boxes and UI that, per se, is not super interesting. But we can make it more interesting. For example, imagine that this is I'm running this application on a tablet, and I'm going with my tablet around the house. I don't have the keyboard with me at that point, but I could have a pen. And so what if I could use the pen to edit my text boxes? And so I can say, rain, yes. And automatically, the text box, in this case, recognizes the input from a pen. Or temperature, let's put it in degrees, like European do, 30. That easy. So just a quick example of how you can use the pen to augment an experience today that is mouse and keyboard. Next step, let's take a picture, right? I'm visiting the house, and so I want to look at the specific detail, and I want to capture some notes. And so I take a photo of this. And now, again, I'm using the tablet. I don't have a keyboard. What if I could just talk to my application? And look at here at the top corner. Look what happened now when I say, we are in the kitchen. Or I could even say, we are in the bathroom. There is a small defect. And automatically, the application captured my voice and translate. And by the way, I'm using natural language here. I'm not using specific keywords. And it just annotate my experience. I could use the pen again to annotate. Clearly, like, there is a problem here. And actually, I don't like this color. Change to blue. This is better, but maybe you cannot see it. Increase the size. OK, now you can see it. Or I would need maybe to do some specific granular work. And so show me the ruler. And now I have the ruler. And notice that if I use two fingers inside this app, now I can control my ruler experience. And as soon as I instead move the pen on top of the same screen, I snap the ink exactly where the ruler is. OK? So just an example of how we can make our applications more personal. Thank you. And then, of course, we have Cortana. So I could even ask Cortana, where is my next appointment? Let's give it a try. Where is my next appointment, Lamna?
Lamna at your service.
Notice
your next
that
appointment is the Michalev family.
It's in Africa.
It probably looks like you are 20 minutes away. Should I let them know?
Yes.
Great. I'll take care of it.
Thank you.
Safe driving.
Sure thing. Notice the natural interaction again. I'm using natural language. I'm talking like I would talk to a person. Cortana recognized that and translated into an input for my application. So this is an application, as I mentioned, a universal Windows platform application, which means I can even run that on my phone. And so let's move over here. And what I want to show you here, I want to introduce you a few devices. First, I have my Lumia 950 XL. So my new phone, and we'll run in a second the application. I also brought with me a display dock, which I will connect to my phone shortly. And it's also connected to my keyboard, to my mouse, just using in this case USB, and to the video monitor out. So I'm taking the new USB-C cable, and I'm plugging this in my phone. And as soon as I do that, my phone now becomes also a PC experience. And this is thanks to Continuum, which means, you know, if I leave the phone here for a second, I can use my mouse and keyboard to navigate inside that desktop experience that you see there on the monitor. And so, for example, let's go and run exactly the same application. This is exactly the same binary now working from my phone. You can see the app is still responsive. I get access to all the features. I can do even more. In fact, if I take my phone again, you notice that what I display, what I'm showing on the screen, is different from what I'm showing on my phone. And I could do things between them. For example, I can go to my mail application. I got an email like after my inspection that says something happened. And so I select my image here, and I say copy. And then I move into my desktop application here. And so let's go to the exterior, and I can paste that image. So I'm transferring now content from one app to the other, from my phone to the screen, all happening inside the same device. Or I could even say, generate a report at the end. And now my phone will create a Word document and will open that Word document. And as you can see, the experience of Word running through Continuum from my phone just looked like Word on the desktop. So it's pretty amazing. What do you think? Thank you. So this is just an example of more personal computing applied to universal Windows platform apps, both on my laptop, on my tablet, as well as on mobile. And with Continuum carrying forward that experience across even more screen and form factors. Let me show you now another example of more personal computing. And this time I want to start from the web, because I love the web. There is a lot of content on the web. And there are a lot of things that are possible starting today. And so I'm back to my Surface Book. And what I have here is a responsive website this time. It's just an HTML5 experience. And you notice that as I resize it on the screen, the application kind of updating the UI. Well, what if I wanted to take this mobile experience and turn it into an application? Nothing more easy than that. So let's go to Visual Studio. And I will create a new project. In this case, I'm going to do a JavaScript project. So I'm creating a universal Windows platform app using JavaScript. Now, normally, this is the fun I love. When you create an application, you normally write code, right? You're adding code. In this case, it's so simple that you need to delete code. So I'm serious. So take a look at there. Like, I have CSS folder, JavaScript, WinJS, default. I don't need them. Delete. Done. That's easy to be a developer. So now I need to do something too. So let's go into the manifest. And I'm going to take the URL of the website and copy that URL. Then I go into my manifest. And I basically pass it as the start page. So I'm basically telling my manifest, start from the content on that website. The other thing that I do, I also add a specific rule where I say, when the website is running as an app, I want it to have full access to all of the runtime, the Windows runtime. Save, I hit debug on local machine, and now, if everything works, voila, my application. That website just became an application. Is that easy? Is that easy to be wrong? Because if all you do is this, then you're not doing it right. We're not asking you to take website and just ship them as application. You could, but that's not a good application. What's good about this is that because now you have access to the Windows runtime, you can actually enhance that website with additional incremental features. Let me show you here a couple. And I'll start with showing you the code. So what I have here is the JavaScript file living on the server. So this is living on my website that has some specific Windows code. And so you can see it at the top. When I'm running inside Windows, then I'm doing this specific stuff. So for example, I have a timeout that is showing two new buttons. In fact, if I show you the website next side by side to the app, you notice that I have additional buttons here inside the application. Another thing, I have a function, one of these buttons will call for the camera. And so I'm calling Windows Runtime Content from my JavaScript. And so these are just normal Windows Universal APIs that I'm calling from JavaScript. Another thing I want to do is identify myself using Microsoft Passport. Again, I can do that from JavaScript because I'm running as an application. And finally, I will create a toast notification using the push the notification API. And so let's give this a try. I'm here in my app, and I want to upload a check. I need a volunteer. Anybody has a check? In white? With your signature, it's OK? No one?
We don't use checks anymore.
You don't use checks anymore? Well, we do in US. So I'll pretend this is a check. It's not. It's my taxi receipt, but we'll work for this. And so I just take a photo. And notice that I have access to all the beauty of the native APIs, of, in this case, of the camera. Now I'm still living inside my web application here. I have my check there. And then to upload the check, before I do that, I want to verify with my face that it's truly me. And so my website now can use Microsoft Passport. OK. It's uploading the check to the bank. And then after a few seconds, we'll get a notification back from the bank. There it is. So all of this running straight from the JavaScript file running on your website. That's how easy and how we think about removing the barriers between the web and the world of applications. The next example that I want to show you is something that I call ambient intelligence. The idea is that we have so many sensors and so many things that surround us. What if we could use those sensors to do something that actually make our experiences even more personal? And so I brought with me, and I'll call the cameraman again. I brought with me something that is very simple. Like you will see here, in a second, you will see my Raspberry Pi. My Raspberry Pi is connected to the network and is connected via USB to this microphone. This microphone is pointing at you. That's it, right? That means that that Raspberry Pi 2 can run universal Windows platform apps, just the same app that I showed you earlier. And in this case, that application is connected to my microphone and is connecting basically noise from this room. So let's try this in action. Let me close here. What you're looking at right now, and let me switch to the PC, it's a simple console application that basically is running on my PC that allows me to connect into the Raspberry Pi just to test what's going on. So let's test the connection to make sure that we're connected. OK, so we're connected. When I say start, the microphone will start capturing the audio in this room. And you're going to see a preview of that noise level inside my application here, which seems it's working. Yes? Great. Was there a clap? But the interesting thing is not what's happening inside that Raspberry Pi. I'm also sending all of this data to the cloud. So in fact, I'm using let me show you here. I'm using Stream Analytics and an Event Hub on Azure to capture all this data, and then with Streaming Analytics to stream it into Power BI. And so in real time, this is a real-time dashboard of the data from that microphone reaching the cloud. And to prove that it's real time, I need your help. Make as much noise as you can. Louder. Louder. Yes. I was really hoping you could reach 1,000. Oh, you did. Look at that. Really nice, really nice. All of this real time happening for a small box, a little small box as this one. And so you can imagine the kind of experiences you can create, you know, using IoT devices and sensors, just like the one that I showed you, and then reusing the data for, you know, hundreds of different scenarios. Thank you for your help. Next, I want to talk about another example of creating a more personal experience. And that's through emotions. What if the computer could recognize your face and recognize the emotion at the specific time? So let's give this a try, and I will need 2 volunteers for this demo. Somebody that can join me on stage. Anybody wants to become popular and famous for 5 minutes? One here? Another volunteer? Just one, not too many. Yes, please, thank you. And you can wait on the comfortable chairs while I prepare here. So the first thing I want to show is a service. It's one of the new services that we introduced last Monday, and it's part of what we call Project Oxford. Project Oxford is a number of machine learning API and services that we offer as part of Microsoft Azure. We've been doing this for a while. You might be familiar with a service that recognizes your face or recognizes your age. Now, in honor of Movember, right, so to raise awareness around this important matter, we created a new website and a new service, which we call mymustache.net. So this is all public, so you can try it yourself. And what it does, it let me upload a photo, and then it recognizes how many mustache you have. In my case, I don't. So it gives me this stage square. And so then it allows me to, you know, create mustache for myself. You can try it with your own beard. I see some of you have longer mustache than me. And this is just an example of how we can take a service in the cloud and do something that is really complex. You know, recognizing a face, recognizing exactly the position of your mouth, recognizing how much, in this case, air you have on your mouth. This is the first thing. But there is another service, which we just announced last week. And this is quite spectacular. And to show you this, you can close this. I have a little, again, application. Yeah, that is looking at me. And so let's try this service in action. Let me smile. Great, and the service knows that I'm happy. What just happened is that I took a photo of myself, I send it to the cloud, I have this machine learning algorithm thinking about that image and then telling me like my reaction. So let's try to do a different phase. No photo here. Okay, sad, yeah, that works. Or hangry. Or, well, kind of hangry, disgusted. Come on, my volunteers. Thank you, thank you.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, thank you for helping me. So to prove you that this is all real, you can come closer. Now we can make faces. Let's make a game, right, to make it just even more interesting. If you stay happy, something will happen. Okay? So your goal is to stay happy. Ready?
Is this off the bay to sign? Then the summer shine.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Now, of course, this is just for fun. But what you just saw was me sending data to the cloud. In this case, you know, 3 phases, but we can send as many as you want, basically. And then in real time, recognizing the emotions and then doing something with that emotion. So think about how you can reuse this to make your applications more personal. And the last example that I want to show you is something that I personally love. It's something that I've been working myself. And so it's something I really want to show you here. And I'll invite again the camera on stage. You might wonder, why do I have this stage here? Like, why do we have this setup here? And so now I will explain you. The first thing I want to show you, and let's project from the PC for a second, is, can we go full screen on the PC? This is an application that you might be familiar already, and it's called StuffPad. StuffPad, I think, is one of the best examples of what we mean with productivity on Windows. In this case, it's an application available in the Windows Store. What you see today is a preview of the next release of this app, which is designed for musicians. It allows musicians to use devices like a Surface and a pen to write notes, to write music. And so in this case, I'm writing this very complex song. And let's give this... And then as I play back, you can see that... I made one error. But you can see that, how this ink is turning into notes. Let's take a look at something that is much more complex and beautiful than what I just did. So let's get an entire composition. And as you can see, this is far more complex. But this application is used by professional musicians. It's used by any sort of musicians. And it's only possible on Windows because of the work that we did with the pen and obviously with the screen and the touch experience. I love this. But there is something else that I want to show you today. And I had to practice, and I had to prepare. I will tell you that the next demo I'm going to show you is something new that we didn't show before. And it's very dangerous. I mean, not for you, but more for me, that something might fail. But I figure you're developers, and so you might enjoy that. And so I just need to get ready for a second. OK, now I'm ready. You like it? I talk about gestures at the beginning, right? And I talk about natural gesture. And one of the roles that use gestures to control the audience is a director of an orchestra. Think about the director of the orchestra using the hands to basically control music and to give commands to the orchestra. What if we could do that from a Windows application? So this is my challenge. So let's give this a try. So I'm running here my application. So you see on screen my app. It's built using Unity. And you'll notice that this is all real, right? As I move my hands, the application is showing you how I'm moving. And as I do this gesture, the music starts. Ready? Now I want to bring the strings. You might think it's fake. Well, what about some cymbal? I want to do this again. Let's bring the volume down. Let's bring the volume up. Magic. You might think the magic is in this stick. No, it's just a chopstick from a Chinese restaurant. So it's not that. You might think it's in my hair. Well, I know they're beautiful, but no, it's not in the hair either. So where is the magic happening? The magic is happening here. I'm wearing a wearable device, in this case, the new Band 2. Band 2, is packaged with a lot of sensors. Sensors about your heart rate, the UV, the galvanic screen response, GPS, but also the most simple sensor, an accelerometer. And so as I move my hand around, I'm basically taking that input from the accelerometer, translating it into this sort of 3D gesture that my hand is doing, communicating via Bluetooth to my universal Windows platform app running on my Surface, and then you saw the rest. So that was the trick behind the last demo. Hopefully you like it. And so I want to end with this quote from Sir Arthur Clarke, which says, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And so if this is true, I hope I brought some magic to you today. And I hope you're going to take some magic home with you. Thank you.